Early, pray for you in our prayer meetings, and we know that you also pray for us regularly, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. I would like to begin by reading Ephesians chapter 2. So please go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So before we read the Word of God, let us pray again and ask God for His help. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy name. And we thank You for the blessing of a new Lord's Day. Amen. Where we can gather together to worship Your name. Thank You for that privilege. Thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit. We ask You again that You give us the Holy Spirit to worship You in a spirit and in truth. Please use the testimony to encourage the people of God, and even to save those who are lost among us. Glorify Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. So the Bible says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. Amen. So I would like to share my testimony of the amazing, marvelous, and incomprehensible grace of God toward this wretched sinner in three chapters. Chapter 1, a child of wrath. Chapter number 2, saved by grace. And chapter number 3, created in Jesus Christ for good works. The first chapter of my personal testimony is a child of wrath, a child of wrath. By God's grace, I was born, like many of the children here, I was born and raised in a good and Christian home by good and godly parents. So, let me back up a little bit. To tell you a little bit about my parents. It is an important part of my testimony. Both of my parents were born and raised in Roman Catholic countries. They were born and raised as Roman Catholics. But there is a sharp contrast between both of them. My dad is from Costa Rica. My mom is from a nation that doesn't get along with Costa Rica, or vice versa. from the country of Nicaragua. We are neighbors, but we have always had conflicts. So my dad was born in a very poor home. His first pair of shoes he wore when he was 12 years old. So since he was a little boy to 12 years old, he was always barefoot. The same with all his siblings, 12 of his siblings. When they bought him the first pair of shoes was to do the first communion, and he could only wear it on Sundays. So that, just to give you an idea, my dad was physically and mentally abused by his dad until my dad decided to leave his house at age 17. At that moment, at 17 years old, my dad said that in his mind, he has two options. He either left his home or killed his father. So my dad decided to do the former, to leave home. My dad took a bus and went as far away as possible from his dad. That's how much he hated him. He went to the capital of Costa Rica, 5 hours away. And then, after 5 years of being in the mire of the sin of drunkenness, that was his refuge, the sin of drunkenness, someone on the street gave him an evangelistic tract. He tells us that it was almost every day that he get this evangelistic tract. He never read it. He threw it. He was a persecutor of Christians. He tells his stories of how much he hated Christians and people who witnessed to him. But one day he received a tract with an invitation to attend a church. And by the grace of God, he attended the church. And he heard the gospel. And Christ rescued him at the age of 22 years of age. He said that a few days after that, he took a bus and he went back to preach the gospel to his dad. And his dad, when he began, his dad got up, told him to be quiet and to leave the house. So again, you know, he didn't see his father for many, many years. But now I'm going to tell you a little bit about my mother. My mother was born and raised in the country of Nicaragua in the home of a very wealthy businessman and politician. My mother attended a non-school. But when she was 15 years old, she said that they heard a knock on the door. And it was two Americans. And they wanted to tell them about a man named Jesus. And she heard the gospel. And the Lord saved her. And but she couldn't go to any, she didn't know any Christian church or anything. Her life was Roman Catholicism. But in 1970, something like that, there was a civil war in Nicaragua. So United States came to take people, and they received many refugees here in the United States. My mom, due to some paperwork, she couldn't come to the United States with the rest of her family, and she had to be sent to Costa Rica. And in Costa Rica, 5 years after her conversion, that was 5 years after her conversion, as a result of the civil war in Nicaragua, my mom was evacuated without her family to Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, she started attending a church called Emmanuel Baptist Church. And there, in that church, she met my dad. About a year after my parents met, they got married, and God granted them to have four boys, one of whom went home to be with the Lord when he was 20 years old in a car accident. My parents did not know the doctrines of grace, and we did not grow up in a Reformed church. But with the fear of God, my parents raised me and my brothers according to the knowledge that they had about God and His Word. We were raised by my parents, and I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but I like to think this. We were raised by my parents. My dad had the Bible in one hand and the rod in the other. And that's how he raised us up. My parents taught me and my brothers the scriptures and took us to every church service. We memorized Bible verses and hymns. My mom posted Bible verses everywhere in the house. God called my dad to the ministry. And when I was 2 years old, he quit his job, took us all, and we went about 10 hours in those roads back then to a small town, and he began, by God's grace, to plant a church. And so I remember, since I was very little, going with my dad and my mom and visiting families, and that was how we were raised. We memorize Bible verses and hymns, but children, I was a lost sinner. I was a lost sinner. Being born in a Christian home to Christian parents does not make one a Christian. Because in order to be a Christian, one must be born again. As Jesus told Nicodemus, the Pharisees, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My parents were faithful parents in taking me to every church service. They were faithful in teaching me the scriptures. They were faithful in teaching me the gospel. I had the knowledge in my head. I have Bible verses in my head. I knew Jesus had died on the cross. I knew that Jesus was buried. I knew that Jesus was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. I had the intellectual knowledge, but could not see the kingdom of God because I was blind due to my sin. When I was 6 or 7 years old, I prayed a prayer asking Jesus to come into my heart. But that prayer, didn't open my eyes and didn't give me a new heart. I continue being a lost sinner and a blind sinner. I was a good boy. Everybody told my mom how good her children were. I was a good boy. I was very polite and respectful. My parents taught me and my brothers good manners. Good manners. That is good. I was right. And then we had to have good grades. We were always, me and my brothers, were always in the top of the class with good grades. But that little good boy, polite boy, respectful boy, smart boy that I was dead in trespasses and sins. So just because a little boy say, "Good morning, good evening, thank you," no Bible verses, that doesn't mean he has been born again. As I grew up, I also grew in sins. And my sins grew in me. When I graduated from middle school, I was invited to attend a prestigious private Christian school located in the capital of Costa Rica. And my parents had to pay for room and board, and my brother and I were going to stay in the house of a missionary couple from America, but they were there, so we were going to stay with them. We were invited to attend to this school. My older brother had received a full scholarship the year before, so I think that influenced that I was invited as well. So with only 14 years old, I left my parents' home to live 4 hours away from my parents in order to attend this high school, this prestigious Christian high school. Probably my parents didn't see the dangers of letting me go. After all, I was going to live in a house with missionaries. But without the supervision of my parents, I began to walk more freely according to the curse of this world and according to the prince of the power of the earth. And I realized this. I was behaving good for fear of my dad, not for fear of God. I didn't have fear of God. From when I was 14 years old to when I was 24 years old, I conducted myself without any restrictions or boundaries. I conducted myself in the lust of my flesh, fulfilling the desires of my flesh and of the mind. With each passing day, just with 14 years old, but with each passing day, I practiced sin and sank deeper and deeper into the mire of sin. Every single day, I was transgressing every single command of the law of God. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. In those awful years, as a wretched sinner, the fruit that came out of my life was the fruit of a child of wrath. I was a hypocrite, a liar, disobedient to parents, disobedient to authorities, a fornicator, a thief, an idolater, a foolish, a disobedient, a deceiver, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating others. That's what's me. From 14 years old, well, from before, but those things came out to life until 24 years old. I often think, if I had died in that lost condition, if I had died in that lost condition from 14 years old to 24 years old, which I could have died easily, there were many accidents in my life, I'll be in hell today and not here. If you die without Christ today, if you die as a dead sinners, if you die without Jesus, you will go to hell. You will go to hell. And that is the first chapter of my testimony, a child of wrath. Chapter number 2, saved by grace. So there in Ephesians chapter 2, we read it, but it says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And then I'm going to read from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." If someone very rightly asks how the kind of sinner that I was could have been saved, the answer is this: with the power of the gospel. God saved me by his grace. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believed, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And that gospel that I hear many times since I was a little boy, probably since I was a baby, that gospel that my mom taught me every little day, every single day of my life since I was a little boy, that gospel that I hear my dad preach, that gospel broke the chains of my sins and brought me to Christ. When I was 24 years old, my parents, and this is kind of like what led me to this. When I was 24 years old, my parents found one of my brothers dead in the vehicle that he was driving. My mom called me with the news from the site of the accident. And God used that call to shatter my heart of a stone in pieces. My brother, who by God's grace was a believer, had invited me many times to go to his church. Come to church, he called me. Saturday night, let's go to church tomorrow. He invited many times. And I had always refused his invitation. Always. So after his death, I decided to receive his invitation. Now I knew he wasn't there. But I told his dead body, I told him, I'm going to go to church. And I started attending the church that he used to attend. So, by God's grace, I quit my job. I was in a job that didn't allow me to worship God. I didn't even think about it. I didn't consider, would this job will help me to worship God? Would this job will help me to glorify God? Would I have Sundays off to go to church? That was never in my mind. Even though my parents taught me that. But that was never in my mind. The culture and the world influenced me so much. And I thought that everything was about making money and buying a car and buying a house and getting things. But God was gracious and I quit my job just in God's grace because I wanted to go to church on Sundays. And I decided, I began to faithfully attend to this church. And in this church, even though it was not a Reformed church, I began to hear the gospel. The gospel that my mom taught me since I was little. The gospel that I heard my dad preach. I began to hear the gospel for the first time. My ears were open. I could hear it clearly. It was as if God had opened my ears to hear the gospel. And that's what happened. Then I began to read my Bible. I remember asking my mom how I am so dirty. For many years, I've been just getting things through my eyes and through my ears, so dirty. What do I do? And she told me to read the Bible. Go to the Bible, read the Bible. And I began to read the Bible. As if God had put new desires within me. And I began to hate those sins that before I used to enjoy. I began to hate those sins. And little by little, God began to give me more hunger for his word. And I started to attend every possible Bible study. in church service that I could. And probably about 2 years after my conversion, the Lord impressed in my heart, I decided to serve Him in preaching the Bible, the Word of God. And this led me to the third chapter of my testimony. And when am I supposed to finish? So the third chapter of my testimony, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after saying in the previous verses, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. After saying that, the Bible says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are not saved by works, those works that we invent, or we humans think that those works can save us. The good works that the Roman Catholic Church taught us to do in order to be saved. We are not saved by those good works. We are saved by grace. And when God saves us, the Bible says that He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In January of 2010, God gave me the opportunity to come to the United States in order to study pastoral ministry in a Bible college. And many things happened in that Bible college, but two things I want to mention that God used to shape me. I'm still in the process, but God used to shape me as a man and as a minister of the gospel. The first thing that happened was that I began to understand Reformed theology. Although it was not a Reformed or Calvinistic school, it was in that school where I first began to hear about the doctrines of grace and about Reformed theology. I began to hear things that I didn't even hear before in Costa Rica. Discussions about predestination, the sovereign of God in salvation, and many other things that were because I was in the dorm with the students, and there were many theological discussions that I didn't hear before. And the Holy Spirit, with His Word and through some biblical resources, began to lead me in an understanding of the doctrines of grace. So that was the first thing that happened. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me those doctrines through His Word and through resources. Began an understanding, the steps in that direction. The second thing that happened in that Bible college was that there in that college, in 2011... in the cafeteria, I saw a beautiful woman, and it's sitting here. And I met my wife in that college. So a year later, in 2012, we got married. And a year after a wedding, we packed our suitcases and I went back to Costa Rica. She went for the first time. And we moved to Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, the Lord led us to the church where my dad has been pastoring for over 25 years. This church had the name Baptist, but it did not have Baptist doctrines and distinctives. So in the year 2017, we began to search what were those Baptist doctrines and distinctives that made us Baptists. I did not know any Reformed Baptist. I did not know any Reformed pastor. I did not know any Calvinistic pastor there in Costa Rica. We thought we were alone, but we began to search what these doctrines and distinctives, and in this search, the Holy Spirit led us to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. And we read it, and we said, this is it. This is what we believe. And we began to teach that confession in the church. The Holy Spirit also led us to meet some pastors and missionaries. Among them, my brother, friend, and Pastor Luke. He was there with his family in the city next to our city. Pastor Luke and I met in the year 2019, at the beginning of the year 2019. And a few months after we met, we attended together a Hispanic Reformed Baptist Conference in North Bergen, New Jersey. God used that conference to give me a deeper understanding concerning Reformed Baptist. And we began the process to constitute the church as a confessional church with an established membership. By God's grace, on November 8th of that year, and by God's grace, on January 31st of 2021, I was ordained as one of the pastors. So today, I have the blessing and the great privilege to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the church there with my dad. Together, we serve in that church. So let me just finish by giving you some prayer requests. If you could please pray for us. Right now we're preaching through the book of 1 Timothy with the intention of nominating men to be elders and deacons. So right now we're preaching to the book of 1 Timothy with the intention to nominate men as elders and deacons. So please pray that God give us men to be elders and deacons of the church. Right now, we do not have any deacons, and that's why we began teaching through 1 Timothy, and we just finished the second chapter. When we go back, we're about to begin the chapter 3. So please pray for elders and deacons. Please pray that God give us this man. Please pray that through the preaching of God's word, in His grace, God in His grace, continue to conform our church and our ministry according to His word. So please continue, that God continue to reform the church, that the reformation continue in our church, and that we continue to conform to the scripture. Because for being a church of so many years, 35 years, 30 years, there is so many traditions and things that are not according to the scripture. So we still need to continue. So please pray that God give humility to those who have been there for many, many years, 25 years, and they think that it is like this, but it is not, because it's not according to God's word. So if it is not according to God's word, we must change it. We must go back to the scripture. So the process of reformation continues in the church in Bagasses, and please pray for that. Please pray that God bless our evangelistic efforts by saving lost sinners and bringing them to a healthy church, to the church. So please pray that God fill the church with lost sinners that are hungry, that are thirsty to hear the gospel. Please pray for more and new members committed to Christ and the church. Right now we have many people that come on Sunday morning. They come regularly, but they don't want to commit to Christ and to the church, so please pray for new members committed to Christ and the church. Please pray for the reopening of Sunday school. Lord willing, we will begin on October 2nd, our Sunday school at 9 o'clock. Right now, we meet at 10, our regular service, and at 5 o'clock. But we are praying for the reopening of Sunday school in October 2nd. We are praying that God provides the resources for the remodeling of 3 classrooms. So we have 3 classrooms that need to be remodeled. And I ask you to please pray for that. And I mentioned this, but please pray that God use the church to reach lost sinners with the gospel. And also to send men to preach the gospel and plant churches. That is our desire. We would like to send men from that church to plant churches. Finally, please pray for God's provision and protection for me and my family, and for my dad and his family. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for this opportunity. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You want to take a few questions? You okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Any questions for Pastor Andres? How's Dad doing now with the Reformed theology?
Yes, God in His grace gave my dad, he's 69 years old. I'm 39, he's 69. He's 30 years older than me, and he's my dad. But God has given him humility to deal with me. God has blessed him with humility. And if it wouldn't be that humility that God has given him, I wouldn't be able to tell you what we have shared today. So praise God for that. And he has received the doctrines of grace, embraced Reformed theology. And by God's grace, he's a Reformed pastor. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
Did the church, were they welcoming to the Reformation, of that kind of thing? What did that look like?
Yes, that was war. That was war. it would require some coffee and. We had about 100 people used to come to church on Sunday mornings. About 100 people. There are not many churches in our Protestant churches. The town is 98% of the people are Roman Catholics, so there are not many churches. There are a few Pentecostals and are that church. So there were about 100 people coming to our church, and then we began teaching the confession. There were some resistance. Then we gave them a constitution of the church, some requirements to be members. And that wasn't well received. We worked about 3 years visiting houses, visiting families, explaining it, talking to them, praying with them. Everything seemed good. But we established a church in November 8th, and the church service at 5. In the morning, we had 100 people. That day, about 5 o'clock, November 8th, we have 15 people. And the churches that came to be there. So the next Sunday, we were 15 people. Everybody left, and they attacked. Many bad things happened through that process. They began writing letters to the community, to each houses. They give letters attacking us. They tried to legally take us out of the building. We have to change our locks. It was bad, but by God's grace, He kept us. And yes, yes. Thank you for that question.
Maybe you can explain just briefly some of the relationships between the other Reformed Baptist churches in Costa Rica. Kind of the collaboration, just praying for one another, working together, filling pulpits.
Yes, thank you very much. By God's grace, there are, in Costa Rica, there is one church in the capital, San Jose, Reformed Baptist Church in San Jose, that was recently planted. Then there is the oldest Reformed Baptist Church is in close to San Jose, also in a big city called Los Lagos. And then there is a church outside the great metropolitan area, about 180 kilometers from the capital. It's a church in It's called a town called Barranca. That's a Reformed Baptist church. Then about 223 kilometers from the capital, it's our church on the north. And then about 23 kilometers from our church is the church where Pastor Luke and his family were at in Liberia. So those are the churches that they are in Costa Rica. There are other pastors in the process of reformation, but these are the Reformed Baptist churches in Costa Rica. And as Pastor Luke mentioned, they have helped us greatly at our church through the council of the pastors. And when we were in this process, they came to preach, they came to teach us. When I was being examined and ordained and all that process, the pastors came to help us with that process. And today, for example, I came to here, and we have pastors from these other churches coming and assist us and help us. So by God's grace, there is that collaboration, and we are sister churches. So,
that's great.
Yeah. So yes, please continue praying for the churches there, and that God plant more churches be planted. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Wheeler, will you pray for Andres, his family, and their time together?
Our Father, it is good for us to be here and to hear what you're doing in other places. And we thank you for Pastor Andres and Danielle and the children. We thank you for this testimony of your grace and goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in so many other places all over the world. We take so many things for granted. We just pray that you would bless the church Andres and his father are ministering in. Bless those people, your sheep, your precious lambs. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. And Lord, bless and strengthen the churches in Costa Rica. May they love one another. May they love the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you bring poor, needy, helpless sinners to yourself through the means of the gospel that these churches are preaching. Please bless them. Please help them. Help Pastor Andres as he ministers this morning from your word. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for what you're doing. And we trust that you continue to work in the midst of us. Bless this morning, we pray. Help us to glorify your great and wonderful name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.